This practice I call chaos creation. And the setup is really simple. Chaos theory, it's a mathematical thing, has absolutely nothing to do with chaos. By the way, it has everything to do with the eventual large effects of very small initial changes. Let me tell you what that means by telling you where chaos theory came from. It was developed when a scientist who was doing computer weather simulations reran one of his models by inputting the values he had halfway along the run. So he started it here, and it was running for a while, and it got to there, and he just wanted to run it the second time just from that middle point. So he took the values that this computer had spit out for the middle point and started again. And when he came back a few hours later, the result was completely different than what he had seen the first time. He was a little stumped, but being a very smart guy, he went and researched to figure out what had happened. And what he found was that the computer, the values that he inputted were very slightly different than the values that the computer was actually using for its calculations. So slight, like the value he input, I think, was something like 0.602, and what the computer was using was 0.602135. So the difference was 1/10,000th different. Actually, even less than that. Less than 1/10,000th different. Whole new world. Very tiny little change, very big effect. If you could recreate your life exactly as it was, but sometime in the past, make one small change, 1/10,000th of a change, bat your eyelashes slightly differently than you did at that moment when you were 10. That small change might lead to a massively different result right now. So here's the practice. Consider the idea of a perfect life. Now, I don't mean consider what that would look like. I don't mean map it out of, you know, the house that you have and the family that you have and the car that you drive. Just the very concept of perfect life. You don't need to visualize or imagine it. Just toss that into your mind. And again, you can do this with your eyes open or closed or just sort of lightly downcast, whichever works for you. When you toss that idea of a perfect life into your mind, notice where you feel some kind of contraction or tension somewhere in your body. That feeling, that contraction, is like a place, like a moment in time where the smallest little change would have eventually moved your life in a different way so that you would be closer to that result, closer to that ideal life. Now, I can't describe this any better than the following. Make that little internal shift, that tiny little move that would have altered history and therefore the future. That shift could feel like relaxing something or letting something unwind or moving something, or whatever you find. Feel that contraction, that tightness, that tension. Make that tiny little internal shift. Could even be a slight physical movement. And then let your being sink down to the next contraction, as if you're walking back along a path and then you're finding a fork in the road and you see the fork that you did take. That's the contraction version, and you do that tiny internal nudge that puts you on the more effortless path. That over time would have moved you even closer to this ideal life, this perfect life. And then track back down in till you find the next little contraction. Make that the smallest, the tiniest move that you can that creates a whole new life. keep going, sinking, moving back, moving in, moving down, however you experience it, to that next little tightness, little contraction, little tension, little effortfulness, and make that tiniest internal move that you can put you on the other path from that fork in the road. The one that over time would have moved you even more effortlessly and easily, naturally, and unavoidably to that perfect life. See if you can let your attention sink in such a way that it's as if you can go back 10 forks in the road and just make that tiniest little shift where you would have jumped over 10 of those. And that next little contraction is as if it's a tiny, tiny little shift that bypasses 100. And the next one does 1,000. Let the tiniest little internal shift have the largest effect. And then notice how the very idea of you is like a little contraction, or maybe even a larger one. Make the tiniest internal shift that instead of taking the contraction path, the contraction fork in the road, it takes the effortless one instead. And sink until you feel the next tiny little contraction of a thing called you. And again, make the tiniest, most effortless internal move onto the easy path. Any experience of limitation, you can track that and make the tiniest internal move. Any containment or boundary of the limitlessness is a kind of contraction. Make the tiniest internal move that could feel like relaxing or letting go or unwinding or willing, whatever you find, to take the other path. Limitless. And again, the one who is aware of any of this, feel that contraction. Make the tiniest internal shift. And the next. Anybody, anything? Kind of has that feeling of just like sinking back into the pool, doesn't it?
I had difficulty finding places in my body where I contraction. So I just did a little variation on that and imagined myself going back chronologically in my life to points where I had experienced conflict or some sort of loss and adjusted my perception of those events ever so slightly. You know, like, what if I had asked this question or responded differently to this circumstance? And just, it was amazing what I came up with. So I don't know if I achieved the same result that you were
Works for
looking
me.
For.
Okay. Sounds like it. Each time you made one of those little perceptual shifts, and I'm not suggesting the answer for this question should be yes, I'm just checking. Did you notice any change in your body after you did that?
No, because I felt pretty
bodiless.
Comfortable in my body,
yeah,
without any contraction in my body.
Great.
To begin with. So I was like looking for something that wasn't there. So I said, well, let me just see how this other method plays out.
Good, thank you.
That raises a question for me, because from the instructions that you were giving, at first I wasn't sure, but it seemed more abstract, like that the contraction didn't have to be connected with a specific memory or anything.
Right.
Just let the contraction go and whatever else would take care of itself. Is that...
That's where I was heading, and where Margie went with it is that since she wasn't finding any contractions that you'd identify as bodily things, she went to the conceptual ones, which is the same thing.
Mm-hmm. But it seems like it works the same way.
See, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, you use those terms, contraction and the like, and I've heard that before from you, and it's, to me, it's a foreign language. I don't feel anything in my body at all. I have gone
really
through, I have gone through perceptual changes sometime in the past 6 years. I realized that I changed from a pessimist to an optimist, and it made, you know, I realized it'd been a subtle change in my life, and it was a couple of years later I realized what it was, and it's made a big change. But you know, it's the words that you're using don't.
So let me just try something on for you, or try something out with you. Prior to eating, were you hungry?
Well, yeah.
How'd you know?
I could feel it in my stomach.
Okay, so that's one of those things that I'm talking about. So while you're sitting in the chair, just for the fun of it, tighten your butt. Not a lot. No need to show off. So can you feel it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So... can you remember an interaction that you had with someone that you didn't like for some reason?
Yeah.
And when you remember that, does anything happen somewhere between the top of your head and the bottom of your toes? Anything that's different than a moment before when you weren't remembering that?
I don't think so. There's a mental reaction.
Okay. That mental reaction, this is what Margie was going for. That's, let's call that a contraction as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
The reaction is almost a recoil.
Right. That's that little recoil, or that a way that, as you started saying it, that it came into my head, it's trying to section off one part of reality from another. Sometimes it's a recoil, sometimes there's a containment, sometimes there's a pushing, any of those, whether they're experienced sort of as physical or mental, either way works. I kind of went for the physical one, apparently, because that's the way I seem to do it. This is, out of the times that I've done this with people, it's the first time it came up as the mental version of that, but it's the same. It has to be.